All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus, chapter 15, for the message tonight. Exodus 15 is the chapter that contains the song that Moses sang after the Lord had delivered them through the Red Sea. And if you will look, please, at a couple of select verses here. The Bible says, for example, in verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Then he says, "The Lord is my strength." Look down at verse 3. "The Lord is a man of war." And the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. That's God's covenant name, and he says that Jehovah is his name. Of course, all those false gods in Egypt, they all had names, and but none of them were true God, but Jehovah is his name. And then he just continues to talk about what the Lord had done. If you look at verse 7, he said, "In the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee." Notice he said, "against thee." He did not say, "against us." The way Moses viewed things is that the battle is the Lord's. It's not against them, but it was a battle against God. And then on and on he goes. Look at the wording of verse 8. He says, "And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together." Isn't that something? What comes out of your nostrils? Well, your breath. You breathe, and the waters parted. The waters made a wall on either side, and they walked across on dry ground. And it says the floods stood upright as a heap. How else would you describe that? I mean, stop and think about it. How would you have described that? I think that's a very accurate way to describe it, don't you? The waters were gathered together. Like a heap, they stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. So the water was just there; it was just standing there, doing completely the opposite of what water is supposed to do. But when God's hands on it, that's what it's going to do. What God tells it to do. All right. So read on down. Verse 9, "The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them." But then in verse 10, "Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Now look, please, at verse 13, and verse 13 and 14 are what I'm going to use to launch me into the message tonight. So in verse 13, Moses says, "Thou in thy mercy..." "And thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Now that Palestina is the land of the Philistines. That's the land that goes between Jerusalem and the sea. And that is the land of Philistia, as it was called in the Old Testament, Philistia. And the different groups of Philistines lived in that region. All right, so let's pray now, and I want to speak to you tonight on how God provides. How God provides. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Father, we love you tonight, and thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts this evening. Father, we all realize that we have needs, and we're so thankful that we have promises in your word that you will supply all of our need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So, Father, help us tonight to understand that you are our God, and you will provide for us. Bless now your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When the command came to the Israelites to begin their journey towards the land of Canaan, as I have said to you before about that venture, it from a human standpoint, now understand that, from a human standpoint, no people could have been so ill-prepared for such a journey as were the children of Israel when they left Goshen and headed towards the land of Canaan. There was no people anywhere who were any more ill-prepared than what the Israelites were. When you read these passages of Scripture that tell the story, you realize that it appeared that they lacked everything necessary in order to make such a trip. I mean, they had nothing. There were no resources at their command from which they could draw. Now, you think about that. No resources. What are they going to do? Stop at McDonald's along the way and get everybody a Happy Meal? No, there were no McDonald's. And so here they are out in this desert region in the Middle East where it's scalding hot all the time, and they have nothing, no resources, and yet God has said that he is going to take them to the land of Canaan and that they would inherit that land as their own. And yet when they left out to go, they got out in that wilderness and realized that they were fully and completely at God's disposal. That's not a bad place to be, though, is it? That's not a bad place to be. I had a friend call me in the last couple of weeks. He called, and he was one of those that Pastor Josh was just talking about, who is so just befuddled with life and how things are going, and he wants to throw in the towel. He wants to quit. He wants to sell everything he has and go buy a cabin somewhere and just hide from the rest of the world for the rest of his life. And I told him, I said, man, you can't do that. You can't do something like that. Well, I just don't know what we're going to do. I said, I don't know either, but let me remind you, and I told him what I just said to you. I said, let me remind you that when the children of Israel left the land of Goshen and went out into the desert, they had no idea how they were going to survive out in that desert. So what was their answer? Well, the Lord provided for them. It was the Lord that provided for them. If you look at verse 13, thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. So that, and that's not the children of Israel that he's talking about there. That's the people that were in these lands where they were headed. So the people in the land of Canaan, they will hear. They will hear about our God and what our God can do and has done. And when they hear about our God, they will fear him, but they will also fear us. And I told him, I said, man, you're missing the whole point of this whole matter. You know, we're not to run and hide when trouble comes. That's when we learn to trust in God and let God provide for our needs. And he said, I knew you'd get all biblical on me.
Best way to be.
I said, well, yeah, man, that's your answer right there. But why do we want to cower and why do we want to flee when difficulties arise? Don't do that. Instead, trust in the Lord. The children of Israel had nothing to fear. Why? Because God had his eye upon them that very moment, and God promised that he was going to guide them along the way. You see, folks, way over here in the land of Goshen in Egypt, God said that they were to go. They were to come out. And so all the way over across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, into the land of Canaan, when they got there, that was God's will. That's what God promised he would do. Get them in the land. So it matters not what happens right in this time period, because you've got a promise. You've got a promise. Now, you know, you can parallel all of this, what they experienced. Egypt is a type of a picture of the world in the Bible. It always is. And how do you get out of the world? You get out of the world through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, how did they get out? They took the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and they put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And then when God passed over, the death angel passed over, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's where that term Passover comes from. All right, so how do you get out of the world? You get saved. You get saved. Now, folks, listen, God, and see the picture here now, God did not take them directly out of Egypt and put them in the land of Canaan. You see? He didn't do that first. No. He brought them through the wilderness. And what did they find in the wilderness? Obstacle after obstacle, and enemy after enemy. And they had to find who they were. And they found out that they were a bunch of complainers and gripers and murmurers. But you see, it's in the wilderness where the Christian learns to depend upon the Lord. But what happens so often, we get saved, we get out of Egypt, we get over here, and somehow or another, we think that now that I'm saved, the Christian life is just going to be hunky-dory. Man, it's all going to be sunshine and roses. And you're not saved a week before you realize that it's not. You've got this old thing called your sin nature. And that sin nature is just beating the daylights out of you with every step that you take. And you got to battle with that thing. And so they get through the wilderness, then you get to the land of Canaan. Now, what happened to them in Canaan? God fought their battles for them. Isn't that something? When they got the victory, finally, God fought their battles for them. God made the sun stand still. He made the earth stand still as it revolved around the sun. Gave Joshua more time to fight. I mean, he did some miraculous things. How are we going to get through the walls of Jericho? Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. What do you mean we don't have to worry about that? Joshua said, no, you don't have to worry about that. All you got to do is march around the city 7 times. That's what God said to do. And so when they obeyed God, what happened? God knocked the walls in. You see, God fights the battles and gives us the victory. So they really had nothing to fear. God's eye had been upon them from the very moment that he led them out of Egypt and into the desert. And that's when Moses wrote this song or sang this song to the children of Israel. When the Egyptian army was destroyed and the children of Israel were safely on the other side of the sea. Now, there are a couple of primary needs that these people had that they must have been very aware of. I cannot imagine that they were not aware of these needs as they were making their way across that desert. Let's look at as many of them tonight as we can before I have to close down for communion tonight. First of all, there was the provision for diet. What are they going to eat, folks? What are they going to eat? They've got a real need here when it comes to the matter of food. There was the provision for their diet. In other words, they would have absolutely been dependent upon the Lord for their daily sustenance. They had to have just been totally dependent upon the Lord for that. Can you imagine their out and they're moving and little Junior looks over and says, "Mommy, I'm hungry." You know, what are you going to say? "Well, son, I think you're going to starve to death before we ever find a McDonald's around here." Huh? No, they learn very quickly to say, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." And I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I mean, you know, when they went out of there, they had to be totally dependent upon the Lord for their daily sustenance. Their subsistence was what was brought them to be totally dependent upon God. The place where they were about to go through was a barren wilderness. Nothing is out there. Just rugged, barren wilderness where it is impossible to secure supplies. And don't forget, folks, they had approximately 3 million people in their group. 3 million. Wow. I mean, you sit here and think about all this and it kind of blows you away, doesn't it? You see, the Israelites wondered about this very thing a little bit later on. When they got deeper into the wilderness, they began to question seriously whether or not God could meet all of their needs. Hold your place here and go over to the Psalms for just a moment and look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, let me read you what the psalmist says about this. All right, Psalm 78, look please at verse 19. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Yea, they spake against God," speaking of the children of Israel when they were out in the wilderness. "Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" They're wondering, you think God can feed all of us out here? You see, folks, 3 million people, that's a lot of folks. How many people are in Carroll County? 230,000 maybe? Anybody know? Off the top of your head? I think it's about 230,000, something like that. Well, now, we're talking about 3 million here. I mean, just right here in Carroll County, how many grocery stores are there? Well, there's grocery stores, several of them in Hampstead, several of them in Finksburg, several of them in South Carroll, down Mount Airy area. There's a bushel basket full of them here in Westminster. Tawnytown has a bunch. I mean, all over, Hampstead, Manchester, all over, there's grocery stores. We go in the grocery store, and I went to the one up here by the college. What's that? The yellow sign, Safeway. Yeah, I went there last night because my wife can't read, and she's not here. She's not feeling well. I hope she's not listening. I'm dead if she is. I'm dead, and you better not tell her. And I had to go get something. And I said, "Are you kidding me? It's like 8 o'clock. I said, "Are you kidding me?" She said, "I'm sorry, I just forgot." And I said, "All right." So I went over to Safeway. I walked in, and I went down this one aisle, and there was dog food. A whole aisle full of dog food. I remember years ago when I had the missionary from Guyana, the missionary pastor native from Guyana in our home, and we went down. I took him down to Kroger's in West Virginia, and I couldn't find him, and I went looking for him, and I found him in the dog food aisle. And I said, "Hassam, what are you doing?" And he's crying. He's just standing there crying. I said, "What are you doing? What's wrong? Did somebody say something to you? What's the matter?" He said, "Your dogs eat better than our people do." That's sobering, isn't it? So I bought him a bag of dog food. I'm just making sure you're awake. Do what? What did he say? I didn't hear what he said. I ignore that now. You know, I'm to the place where I ignore that. No, folks, think about it. 3 million people? There are not enough Costcos in the world to take care of 3 million people at one time. I mean, you know, they didn't have any We-Is markets. They didn't have any Safeway markets. They didn't have any BJ's or Sam's Clubs or Walmarts. There were no pharmacies, no CVS, no Walmarts. Nothing was out there. So if they're ever going to survive such an endeavor, it's going to have to be because God provides for them. And here's the good part, folks. God did. God did. Should they have questioned God's ability to feed them? No. He's God. He can do whatever is needed to be done. And God had done already many amazing things for these people, all under the presence of the Shekinah, the glory cloud. And that glory cloud was leading them the whole time they were in the wilderness. And there was no food, there was no water. But with God, that's not a problem, because he's God. And sadly, the children of Israel began to insinuate that the problems of the wilderness were beyond God's ability to provide. The tendency of the human heart is to doubt God in difficult times. That's the tendency. Even believers sometimes forget that what God undertakes, he is more than capable of performing. You see, folks, God had committed himself to the deliverance of the children of Israel and to their safe arrival in the land of Canaan. And he did so with a solemn covenant, which he made centuries before any of these people were ever born, a covenant that was made with the great grandfather of these people, Abraham. And folks, there was no power in heaven or on earth or in hell that could stop him from performing and fulfilling that promise. You say, but Pastor, how was God going to provide for them? Well, instead of bins and barns where things could be stored, God had a cloud that was above them, and in that cloud, or with that cloud, God could rain down from heaven everything they needed. When they needed food, God just sent them the manna. When they needed meat, God sent them quail under glass. How cool is that? I mean, can you imagine the quail just come and land right in their camp? They walked out and they said, "What's that stuff?" You know how you say "what's that" in Hebrew? Manna. Yeah. Manna. And that's what it became known as. I'm spitting all over myself. Manna. Manna. What is it? What is it? That's manna. That's what it means. And God provided. There was no food out in the wilderness, but God knew when and how to open the storehouse of heaven and how to pour out food daily suited for their needs. And what God sent to them from the cloud, from the Shekinah, did not need to be stored up. Right? Did not need to be stored. You say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. It was provided daily, fresh. Didn't have to unthaw dinner. Huh? Didn't have to put it in the microwave. was ready to go. It was provided fresh for them every single day. They did not, listen, they did not even have to carry it with them. Isn't that something? They stopped for the night and set up a tent and then crawl out of that tent the next morning, and there it is. They walk out, huh, manna. Yeah, it's manna, eat it. No, manna, what is it? Don't worry about what it is. The cloud gave it to you. It's going to be good. I had a professor in college that called it angel food cake. He said, you certainly couldn't call it devil's food, could you? So there was the provision of their diet. Secondly, I want you to know there was protection from danger. Protection from danger. There was the provision of diet, but then secondly, there was protection from danger. Another primary need of the children of Israel was protection. Folks, these people weren't an army. They were not warriors. They were not fighters. They were shepherds. They were shepherds. And just a few hours after the Passover, they found themselves in danger, didn't they? They found themselves in danger. The Shekinah, the cloud, led them down to the banks of the Red Sea, and they turned to look behind them, and they saw the Egyptian army in their horse-drawn chariots and the soldiers of Pharaoh all armed to the hilt. What are they going to do? They're not equipped to fight. They don't have the swords and the spears and all the things that were needed to defend themselves. No, these people, if they were ever in a helpless situation, it was when they got to the Red Sea, turned around, and saw the Egyptians coming at them. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? No people had ever been so helplessly situated. As far as they could see their own situation, they were in a hopeless and helpless situation with no foreseeable way out. And yet, just when all hope was gone, the cloud showed up. That's our God, folks. You know, when you think, well, I just don't have anywhere to turn. Well, how about instead of looking left or right, look up? You just might find what Moses did and the children of Israel. You just might see the cloud there. That cloud will help you. It will guide you. The Lord will guide you. Look at chapter 13 for just a moment. Let's go back to the story and let me refresh your memory. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13 and look at verse 21. The Bible here says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. That's pretty good, isn't it? Who went before them? The Shekinah, God did. And God took that glory cloud not away, as the Bible puts it. Not away. day or night. Look at chapter 14 and verse 9. Look at verse 9 in chapter 14. It says, but the Egyptians pursued after them. So this is when they went down into the Red Sea. And when they're running away from the land of Goshen. And in verse 9, it says, but the Egyptians pursued after them. Pharaoh had a change of heart, remember? And all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army and overtook them in camping by the sea beside before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were, what's the next two words? Sore afraid. I don't blame them, do you? And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And here's Moses again in verse 13. Look at it. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Wow. What a promise. Now look at verse 14. Here's the key. Why is that, Moses? Why are we never going to see him again? Well, the Lord, and notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. Notice that, folks, the Lord shall fight for you. I'm saying that the Shekinah was their protection from danger. And the Lord will watch over us as well. God protected them from danger the entire 40 years. And for the entire 40 years, that Shekinah cloud led them and protected them at every single turn. What a God we serve. Amen. Folks, that God that watched over them is the same God that watches over us. Right. And I'm here today to tell you, he knows your heartache. He knows your cares. He knows the burdens that you bear. He knows the crosses that you carry. He knows every ache and every pain. He knows your heart inside and out. And it doesn't matter what the world or sin or anything else tries to do to your heart, your God is capable. Amen. And he'll protect you. That's right. You say, well, Pastor, we're all going to die. Well, unless the Lord comes back. But if the Lord doesn't come back, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to die. You say, well, I don't want to die. Well, I mean, I don't either, if you want to get technical. But let me ask you, what's wrong with going to heaven? Amen. Huh? What's wrong with going to heaven? That's not a bad exchange. Here? For heaven? I mean, I don't need to flip a coin on that one. I know exactly which one I'd choose. Heaven. And Paul dealt with this dilemma. Paul said, I'm torn. I'm torn between. He said, it's advantageous for you if I stay here, but it's advantageous for me if I go to heaven. And I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to desert you or hurt you or anything else. But I've learned that, you know, he said later on, whatever state I'm in, to be content. And by the way, that's even in Maryland. The state of Maryland. Be content. Well, how can we be content? Because you know what's ahead. And heaven is ahead. And if heaven's ahead, that makes you ahead. You're ahead of the game. And God will provide. He always does. Always. Thank God for his provision. Well, I have one more, but I'm out of time because we got to have communion. But thirdly, there was providence for guidance. Providence for guidance. That was another essential need of the children of Israel in the wilderness. This wasteland was trackless. There were no roads that went through there. So if they were going to make their way through that wilderness, they were going to have divine guidance in order for it to happen. Aren't you glad the Lord still guides today? Amen. See, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Have you taken it to the Lord and asked the Lord what you ought to do? You know, if you do, he'll guide you. Amen. He'll give you what you need if you'll just ask him for it. Amen. So that's our God, folks. That's our God. That's how he provides. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts tonight. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we have heard and help us to see the parallel and the picture. And Father, to realize that we have a God who cares. We have a God who provides no matter what the need is. I think this matter of provision for their diet. Oh my, that was an unbelievable thing that God did every day, providing for their needs. We have to eat. We have to have water. If we don't, we won't survive. And oh, how God provided for their every need. So Father, help us to just lean on you and trust you. I don't know what folks are dealing with tonight. I don't know what's going through minds and hearts. But Father, I do know that you're more than capable of handling whatever it is that we have to face. So I pray you'll bless. I pray that you'll be honored in what has been said tonight, and apply it to our hearts as is needed. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.